Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. We're continuing our program to interview people who have had very stressful situations in their lives and to hear how they've coped with it, how they've created a space for themselves, and if this coping has been a physical one, a mental one, a spiritual one, and how they've come back to themselves. It's been a very beautiful set of interviews, and I really appreciate all the people who are willing to share a very intimate part of their lives and with the rest of us. And one of the things that's so interesting for me is that it's really easy when our injuries are physical, when we can see what has been happening to us. Well, we have cancer or there's an automobile accident and there's a physical condition that results out of an automobile accident. But it's not so easy to relate to sometimes to injuries that are not physical, that they're not seen on the physical body. And I feel that this is something that as a Reiki practitioner and a Reiki master, I have had some really interesting processes with this for myself, because I forget, you know, if I can't see it, if it's not in front of me, then I don't pay attention, and I'm sometimes very thoughtless about what I do or what I say in that circumstance. So it has taught me to be more thoughtful and to be more considerate of how injuries can happen to people and how they affect other people's daily lives. I have with me Wilhelmina Rappel. She's from Austria, and she's had a series of really interesting events, and the way that she coped with it was a bit different than the others, and I'm really happy to have her on the show. Welcome, Wilhelmina.
Hi, Phyllis.
Wilhelmina, I'd love to find out and have the listeners also know how you came to Reiki, like, how many years ago was that, and so on, because it's a very interesting story, really.
Yeah. Okay. I came to Reiki in the 90s. It might have been 99 or 91. So I made a trip to South Africa, and I was visiting my family who lives there, and when I arrived in South Africa, I had laryngitis. It was from the flight, laryngitis, bronchitis, and, you know, I did not have a voice. I had a lot of pain. I could hardly swallow, and, yeah, I got up the other morning, and I just couldn't talk, and I felt ill. So my sister-in-law, she saw my condition, and she asked me, may I help you? And I said to her, yes, please. Or so good as I could get a voice out of me. And then I immediately said to her, oh, do you have a medication for me? And I was expecting her to give me a pill, because I did not take any medication with me from Austria. And then she looked at me and she said, no, I won't give you some medication, but I rather would like to put my hands on your neck. And then I was like, uh-huh. And then she said, you know, I have learned a healing technique, and this is just that I would put my hands on your neck and you don't have to do anything, and I will leave my hands there, and then you will see. And then I was like, oh, this is strange, but okay. Okay, try it. Yeah, and then I would sit there in the kitchen, and she made not so much. I think she was quite, yeah, just on my throat, and yeah, I felt the warmth and some kind of tickling, and she did this for, I would say, 15 minutes. And yeah, it was nice, and so yeah, I left her doing this. Then she took her hand off, and she looked at me, and then she would ask, "So, and how is it now?" And I got my voice back, and this was something like I could talk. My voice was totally clear, and I could swallow. And I did not have this terrible pain all the time when I tried to swallow. And I was like, wow. I said to her, I don't have pain anymore. I can swallow. I can. It was amazing for me. And I looked at her like, you know, like she would be a ghost. And I asked her, "Please tell me what was that?" And then she was laughing, and she said, "Yeah, you know, this is what I have learned." And I said to her, "Yeah, how do you call it? What is it? How did you do this?" And yeah, she was excited, and then she said, "You know, this is Reiki." And yeah, I discovered this when she had cancer in 1978. She was diagnosed with Morbus Hodgkin disease, and it was one from the bed. It was 50-50% diagnosed that healing could happen, but is not predicted. Not a good.
Prognosis. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at that time, yeah, my sister-in-law, she has had three little children. The one was just born, a few months old. The other one was 2 years. The next one was 4 years old. And, you know, she was 27 years old. And this diagnosis hit the whole family. Each single of us was just... yeah, out of mind, and yeah, it was terrible for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started all these processes. When you are seriously ill, you go to the clinics, you get different doctors to make their diagnosis, and
mm-hmm.
and then she was told that she has have to operate on the physical. She has to be operated, and then they told her after they made the tissue
biopsy.
Yeah, the biopsy. After the biopsy, she was told to get operated on the different knots she had in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Then she has had to have chemotherapy, and they told her also that she would have radiation. So, yeah, she thought a lot about if she would do this or not, or should I have the operation. She doesn't want to. She was somehow, she said, you know, I'm sure I will get rid of this cancer. He came and he will disappear, and I will find something to get rid of this.
Wow.
And she was so sure and so, yeah, she was like believing in herself, and she trusted that she will get rid of this. Then, yeah, she did make the operation. Then they started with chemotherapy, and Yeah, she did several chemotherapies, but one after the other, she felt worse than ever, and she said, you know, I think I will not survive this chemotherapy. She was in a very bad condition, had very low energy, and she was really down and destroyed. So she was considering to stop the chemotherapy, and she did. Finally she did. Then also she stopped the radiation because they burned her... They burned some... like the thyroid.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And from that she had terrible side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, you know, they are killing me. The side effects are worse than the cure.
Right.
Yeah. And she stopped everything. And yeah, the family was quite anxious about that. And, you know, if people just believe in medicine healing and nothing else, then yeah, it was a lot of discussion and how she could continue or what would be best for her, and
uh-huh.
It was, you know, family consolation and yeah, really,
yeah,
it was a hard time for her. And yeah, I was in Austria, she was in South Africa, and yeah, we did not talk about these things at this time. Yeah, you know, we didn't have these connections like we have today with the internet, with Skype or so.
That was worrying.
Yeah.
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 So then she went on a search and found Reiki?
She went on a search and she did so much things like, you know, diet and different things, you know. When I remember what else she did, I wouldn't have this patience she has had and this trust and this belief. It was really, yeah, an amazing time. And somehow she found Reiki. She did many, many things. I can't even remember what else she did. Homeopathy, you know, all these kind of different
therapies.
Yeah. Yes, she went through, and yeah.
Well, it's wonderful that she found Reiki so she could give it to you.
Actually, that's how I came to Reiki. Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
So she found Reiki in South Africa. At that time, there was a Reiki master who flew to South Africa. He is from the Netherlands, and it is Ben Verheiden.
Right.
And yeah, he.
And I think this was in 1987, not 78.
Yes, 87. Yes.
Did yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah, but I think it was 89 or something, because I initiated him, and he was initiated in 88.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. 87, '87 was the cancer appeared with my sister-in-law, and yeah, you're right.
So it took her some time to get there.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go on with your story.
Okay.
So you found Reiki, and then when did you take your first degree?
My first degree I took in 92. 92? 92, finally. I took my first degree, yeah. When I was in South Africa and she did the healing on my throat, this was 1990, at the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
It must have been December or January 91,
uh-huh.
Because I always used to travel to South Africa in winter time. And yeah, and so I was so excited about that experience. When she put your hands on and did this healing on me, that I immediately said to her, you know, this is something I need to do. I want to learn this, and I would like to know more about that. And she explained to me how she came to Reiki, or the Reiki path she had. And at that time, when she did the healing on me, she had the second degree. She was initiated in the second degree already. And she said, you know, I want to be a Reiki master, and I'm training on that. And so, but it, at that time, it didn't say anything to me.
Right.
And so, but the only thing I wanted was, you know, I have to learn this, because this is something, yeah, it touched me so deeply. And, you know, I'm a qualified nurse, and I work in the hospital, and I thought, like, this is magic, and, you know, this is something I could do on people, and this would support my work. And, you know, I had many, many thoughts and beliefs came to my mind, and this was like, yeah, magic for me.
Uh-huh. And so you learned first degree, and then second degree, and then you became a master eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to skip through your story, but we have a finite amount of time, and I really want to get to your story that we're talking about today.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe the story starts when? So when you became a Reiki master, when was that?
In 1999, Easter Sunday.
Wow, 1999? Wow, wonderful.
Yes.
And who initiated you?
Lina Lesnik.
Uh-huh.
And she was, in the year 92, she was the first Reiki master in South Africa, the only one who lived in South Africa.
Yeah, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your sister-in-law?
She is my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. So then you were working at that time in a clinic as a nurse? Or?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, as a qualified nurse, and yeah.
So how was that, working together with Reiki and the medical community?
Yeah, at that time, yeah, it was, you know, I did not talk about... I did not talk about so many people that I'm doing Reiki, because it was very unknown, and you know, I felt it strange to talk to people, because it was something like, oh, you're doing some voodoo or so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I was careful with whom I talked about this, but I felt very much that in some cases, or yeah, from time to time, I could use this also in my work. On one hand, for me, of course, and sometimes for the clients, for the patients. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't know very well with whom I can talk about this or use it. And yeah, there were cases, they were really, you know, heart touching, when, for example, when I could assist a person who was on his last path, for example. And yeah, I would sit with a person, for example, when the last hours were there. And I remember there was one woman, she has had breast cancer, and she was really in a very bad condition, you know, all this lymph edema, and the arms, they were double size. Mm-hmm. and it was terrible to see how bad she, in bad condition she was. And when she turned to die, you know, in the week when she went through this dying process, she said to me, "You know, Sister Wilhelmina, I have one wish." And at that time, I did use Reiki on her, because she was anxious and nervous, and, you know, she couldn't sleep anymore, and she had this pain, and of course she got painkiller and morphine, and every time when I had a little space in my working time, then I would go to her room and just sit beside her and hold your hand, because yeah, it did calm her down. And she said to me, "You know, always when your presence is there, then I feel just calm and I feel security, and I feel so nice, and would you please hold my hand?" And this is how it started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I did several treatments on her, like add the ointment and so, then she said, "Oh, you have so wonderful hands, and mm-hmm. I like to be touched from you." And so I would sit next to her bed, holding her hands, and then she said to me, "You know, this is a miracle for me, but I feel so calm, and so I'm not anxious about dying now anymore." And I was like, "Oh, wow!" And so, yeah.
Beautiful experience.
Yeah, it was really. And she said, "I have just one wish. I would love you would be there that night when I will die." And this was something like, I was so touched, and yeah, I was thinking about that, and it really turned out that it was in my night shift that she died, and yeah, I was with her, and this was amazing. An amazing process, yeah.
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 Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, a couple of years ago, you were working in the clinic, and they came to you and said that you were let go, or when this whole incident happened the last 2 years, 2 or 3 years?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, I have been... I don't know the English word. I just have been kicked out 2 years ago from the clinic where I was working the last 7 years. I've been working in a psychiatric clinic, and I was there from the beginning on when they set up the clinic, and yeah, and in 2009 I have been kicked out because I turned 50.
Uh-huh.
And yeah.
And this was a traumatic experience for you.
Yes, that was very, very bad for me. Yeah, I felt in depression after that, and it really has changed my life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you say more about that?
Mm-hmm. So I have been kicked out from one day to the other with no warning before, or nothing happened before, you know. I was just doing my work, and I had a night shift. And the other day in the morning, the responsible sister for the staff, she came to me and she said, "You know, I have to talk to you, I need to say tell you something." And she just said, "You know, our chief doctor has decided that you have to leave the clinic," and yeah, and that was it. And before, I have been kicked out, and also four of my colleagues would have to go, but I did not realize really about that was so. For me, it came out of the blue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, okay, they want to get rid of the elder staff.
Mm-hmm.
And they also said to me, then I went to the management, and I said, "I want an explanation for that." And they said, "You know, we would like to set up a young team.
Mm-hmm.
directly to my face, they said this. Yeah, and so, yeah, I have been suffering then from depression. I also have been in a burnout because I was working very hard for that clinic. And, you know, they in these times, they always have less staff, and those who are working, they have to give more than everything. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they work for two, and I really loved my job, and I had a lot of responsibilities there, and I was proud to set up the second clinic, and
uh-huh.
Yeah, and I did all these things, and because I don't have family, and so I really love to do my work.
Mm-hmm.
The work
mm-hmm.
was one of the main things in my life.
Right.
Yeah.
But this was like a kind of trigger, it seemed,
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah. At the beginning I thought, okay, I don't know how I will survive this. I felt like falling into a hole and endless falling.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I did Reiki myself, and this was the only thing I still have had. The trust that I would survive somehow I have had, but. You know, if you fall in a depression, it is weird. It is something, yeah. It's an ugly experience, and it turned my life into, let me say in a different way. From that moment on, you know, when they kicked me out that day, I drove home, I sat down, and then, yeah, I was thinking about what the hell is this about, and it really, yeah, I did not know how will I carry on with my life or what, and then I would sit there and. No, I went to my garden, I would sit there, and I was looking in the meadow, in the forest, and listened to the birds, and I was quite aware of the nature. I'm a nature person, and somehow I felt, you know, you have two chances. Either you commit suicide, or you try really to make the best out of this situation now. And then I had no idea at that moment, but when I was in the nature and in the silence outside, I remember there was a thought I had, or there was a thought. It was actually, I can't explain. It was not a thought, it was an insight, and that said, you know, you will survive that, trust, and there it will come out something very, very good for you. And, you know, this was like somebody would put these words in my brain, in my
It was a knowing.
It was a knowing. Right.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it said, this is a new beginning now. And don't worry, you will survive. You will always have money to survive, and you will get another job. And this is actually what you ever wanted. And this was true, because I was not so happy at the clinic anymore the last year. It was very hard work for me, and yeah, I felt that I'm in the burnout, but I did not have the guts to say, okay, I really need to leave and to find another job, because this is too much for me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah,
I felt this, but I was not able to to leave on my own, on to say,
right,
listen, because there was always the fear, okay, this job is so good and I did work myself up, and when I leave and in my age, it is not so easy to get another job, and all these beliefs, you know,
right.
I have heard about that. And so that they kicked me out, it was the right time. My friends would say, you know, this actually, you don't have to worry, because this is what you have been asking for. And and really, they gave me the mirror, and it was right, because I always, when I met with my friends and they said to me, you know, you don't look, you are not in a good condition and you are depressed and you are, please take care for yourself and you are changing, and they saw this and they reminded me, but yeah, I did not, I did not listen to,
right,
to myself. And so I was rather struggling in that clinic, and instead of, yeah, leaving.
Right.
So the kick out came at the right time, because I really was so down, and also then I started with the depression, and this was, because I did not care of myself. And
right.
Yeah, but not only because of being overworked or in the burnout, it was also a long process going on that I came to that point. I was, at that time, I was not happy with my life anymore. I'm a single person, I don't have a relationship, and yeah, my mother at that time, in the same year my mother died, she was 96 years old, and
wow.
I have been, I have been taking care for her a long time, and only the last 4 years she had to live in the old age home, and because it was not possible anymore to have her at home, and so I really had a lot of work around me. My father died a few years before, with 92. Yeah, actually, I took care for my parents. Also, in the 90s, I had my grandmother with me, taking care of her until she died. And so I really was always working hard, and not. I actually lived a life I didn't want to live. It was not my life.
Yeah.
And all the things came together then when.
Right. So then. What you did, it sounded like, was that you just let go in some way.
Yeah.
And went to a place of healing, which sounds like, in listening to your story earlier this week, it sounded like all of these things came together to allow you to just start again.
Yes. Yeah.
So this means that you eventually ended up in a hospital yourself?
Yes. So my inner voice said to me, you are not going to look for another work at this moment. This is not the time. You, and this was on the first day when I have been kicked out, this came to me. You will take care for yourself now. This is your chance, and this is actually you want it and you have been asking for. Take this chance, and you know, there were incredible insights actually when I think back. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, and you will take the time out, you look for yourself, and now you have the chance to do what you ever wanted to do. And yeah, this was really, yeah, the time out was the best what happened to me. And at least I'm now 2 years away from work. I have survived. I did a lot of things I ever wanted to do. I did not have the time for. So but before I went into a deep depression, it ended up that I only was lying the whole summer on my bench in the lounge and staring in the air and yeah, feeling nothing, doing nothing, just the only thing what I did, I got up in the morning, I would feed my cat, I would open the windows and yeah, sitting in the garden and yeah, I didn't have the power for anything anymore. I didn't meet with my friends anymore and just would sit there, really depression. So I thought, okay, this is not on because, yeah, you need help. Somehow you need help. This was my feeling, and I went to a doctor, to a psychiatric person, and yeah, he said to me, you know, you are in a stage that you. I really suggest you have to have medication and taking antidepressiva. And I was like, no, I don't want these things. I'm sure I will come out from this on my own, and I will put Reiki on me and taking treatments and all other healing things. But I don't want to take antidepressiva. You know, I felt like no, I'm not like the patients I did. I did serve them. Mm-hmm. I'm not the same.
Right, right.
And you know this.
Right.
Oh,
right.
This is not true. I'm not that depressed that I have to take medication. But yeah, and then he said, okay, it's up to you. But I really need to say that you have to have medication. So I left him. I went back home, and yeah, tried out if I will come out from that situation on my own, but it didn't work out. Then my mother was in the dying process. I was kicked out in June, the 10th of June, and my mother would die in August. Yeah. And when she was in the dying process, you know, I had very little power at that time, and when she was in that process, that knocked me down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really knocked me down.
I can imagine.
And then I went to my doctor and I said, okay, I'm willing to take medication, and you know, these pills doesn't work. You take them and they work on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of time, 14 days to yes. 3 weeks,
yeah.
Until they are uh-huh. in your body and you feel the
mm-hmm.
the result. So I started taking the pills, and when they started working, this was the week when my mother really was nearly gone,
mm-hmm.
and so I had the strength to guide her or to assist her in her process. And this was a very important time for me, for her, and an incredible experience. And I was so happy that I was able to be with her, because before, she would always say, all the years when she turned older, from time to time she said to me, you know, I have one wish, and this is that you will be with me when I die. Yes. And I found it so strange, and I said, okay, then, okay, if you want to, yes, I will try. And she had a fear about being on her own in that process. And yeah, from time to time she asked me that, and I said, if it's possible, I will do that. And she was also asking me several times, you know, please tell me how is this when people die? What are you doing and what are you feeling and how is it about? And yeah, we had these strange conversations. And yeah, and then I was remembered, okay, she wanted me to be with her, and
mm-hmm.
I'm in this bad condition, but the pills were working, So I felt I can assist her, and also I did my Reiki treatments and for me and of course for her, but because this was a habit. I visit her and I would hold her hands, I would put my hands on, and we did give her Reiki treatments all the time. Me, my sister-in-law, my brother, also my father loved Reiki, and he was also assisted in his dying process with Reiki. He was really guided with Reiki, and he passed away with Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And this was
very
nice.
So your mother died, and then you could concentrate more on yourself. So I understand that you went down, I would say, to perhaps your personal bottom in healing and processing all of the things that happened over your childhood and on.
Yeah. After my mother died, then I really had a breakdown. Then I could not.
Then you could let go.
I could let go, and but I had to go. Really, I had to go to the clinic because I was out of my mind and really breakdown. I could hardly move anymore.
Yeah.
And then I went to the doctor and I said, okay, I can't anymore. He took me to the clinic and I was there for 3 weeks, and that really helped me. And and then I had the knowing that I have to carry on, and what would be the best now at this moment. And I have had a few childhood experiences. They were very bad and worse, and I did carry them my whole life, and I did not work on them. And I have been aware that now I want to work on them, and this is the chance I have. And so I decided to start with therapy, with psychologist. And in October 2009, I started with therapy, and I still continue with that. And the last two years, I really was. I have been working very hard. I went to the psychologist once a week, and I have worked off the most important experiences or bad experiences I have had, and it was just wonderful that I did. I did not, I did not believe in that, and although I have been working with that, but this was something how happened to other people and not to me. And I have been working with psychiatric doctors, with psychologists, and with the clients, but not me.
Right. Well, it's a humbling experience.
It was very humbling. And I also have been thinking very often, how can that happen to me? I'm a Reiki person. I'm a Reiki master, and this is blaming, and this is embarrassing, and all these things, How can that happen to me?
Uh-huh. And what was your answer?
The answer was that, that Reiki has brought me to that level or to that source, and Reiki did show me really the mirror. Really, I have been aware of that.
Yeah.
And I have been listening to that, although, it was hard for me, but I understood that this is, I have come to that point because it had to be to change my life and to become to a better life. Or the life I actually wanted, the life I wanted to lead, and to myself and to my life, back to my life.
So you're coming out of it now, and you're just preparing to take another big step in the next month. Is that true? Feels like you're on an upswing and your next thing is to go home, because we're now in Hawaii, to go home and to take your next big step. And
oh, yes.
Yeah. How does that feel?
Yeah, excited. I'm very excited. I'm now in, a kind of retirement. I get a pension.
Mm-hmm.
This is an insurance we pay in Europe or in Austria, and if you have any kind of disease that you are really not able to work, then you will get this pension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I live from that, and this is over then at the end of November, and then I'm considering to find a work and carry on with my life, but in the best condition I ever had in my life.
Uh-huh, beautiful.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Beautiful.
I have done a lot of things during this, actually during the last year, because 1 year I was really very bad condition, but then it started going better and better, and now I would say I have never been in a better condition than now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm excited about my next steps and finding a work, finding out what I want to do, and
I wonder if the inner voice will come to you again.
The inner voice is always there, you know. And during this week or the 10 days we have been together, you know, a lot of things came up, and
Great.
When we did all these processes now, and you know, it was like every 2 hours something different popped up and really weird, and I have to calm down now a little bit and sit over that and look inside, and at the moment I'm just too excited because I'm really out of my mind because of all the things we did and the processes we had, and
time for integration is
another time for integration.
Right. So through this whole traumatic period of your life, you accompanied it with Reiki.
Yes.
Yeah, lots of Reiki treatments and so on, I remember you saying.
Yes, I also, has been asking for Reiki support from the Reiki community. I don't know how did it for me. I can't remember actually if it was Martha or
someone
asked the Reiki. She would ask me, and then she took me on the support line, and and also for my mother, I have been on the support line, and this was really so good. This was something, it was amazing when we received the Reiki during the dying process.
Uh-huh.
It has shifted. When she was still alive, then it really has shifted so many things, and there was so many release, there was forgiveness, there was just blessing was there.
Mm,
also, she couldn't talk the last week anymore, but just being together in this, space with covered with Reiki and supported with Reiki, it was, beyond words.
Beautiful. If you hear background noises, it's a big truck going by. So I really find your story inspirational and exciting. And I know that it hasn't been easy, definitely not. But it's wonderful to see you, like I see you standing at the beginning of a new road.
Yes.
And that's very beautiful and very exciting in a way that feels that only that you now have a solid foundation for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Does it feel like that to you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels I'm a totally different person now. I really has changed. Yeah, I have changed not also in the physical way. I have changed in different levels, on all levels.
Right.
People who knows me, they were just like, if they see me, you know, people would see me like, they don't see me for 3 months, and then they met me, and then they would say, wow, from my physical being now, but also from my emotional, everything has really changed very, very much. The other way around.
Yeah. So physically, what happened physically to you?
Yeah, physically I get rid of lots of weight. I lost weight about 35 kilos.
Wow.
But in 6 months.
Wow.
And I can't tell how that went. I can't tell. I did not make a diet, or I just did. Yeah, I ate less. I would eat less, but no diet or anything. I started to move my body. I went to the gym, and I did things I never did before, and I actually rejected or I hate them. I never was a walking person, or you know, that I would walk every day and so, but I did.
Yeah.
I could do all these things. I started to learn guitar I ever wanted.
Wonderful.
Yeah, now I can play guitar and...
Wonderful.
Yeah, I did a lot of things I ever wanted to do.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, I really appreciate your sharing your courageous story with us, and feel that for these kinds of situations, which are pretty scary, because I think that as human beings, one of the scariest things perhaps is to lose one of our senses, like our hearing or our eyesight or our ability to move if we are paralyzed or something like this. But then to lose our minds, literally, is this kind of sacred thing. And there's a lot of stigma attached to it. And I feel that your story is like many, many other stories that I know, where emotions and traumatic experiences of the past come up and they finally have to be healed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it takes help. Just like if we have illness, we go to a doctor and they...
They
do
cut
something.
Off the
Or they give you a pill, or they tell you to exercise more, or whatever, or they have a special diet. Having emotional and mental stresses do the same thing. But it's really wonderful that you're willing to start a new life, and that's great to rebuild it
and
to get going on something that feels more solid for you now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wonderful. Well, good for you, Wilhelmina.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for sharing this on the show.
You're
welcome.
It's
been really sweet. And is there anything that you would like to say to people who are listening who might have a little bit of the same condition?
Yeah, there's lots of things to say.
That's okay.
There would be so many things to say, I have no clue. I don't want to give advices, but it is important that you trust yourself, that you listen to yourself, listen to your insights, and the first thought you have is always the right thought. Don't change it.
That's great advice.
If something comes to your mind and and you would say, oh, this is strange, why do I have this thought? Then don't change it, listen to it. This is my experience, because if I don't hear to what my insight gives me, then, and I would change what comes up, then it was never right.
I get that too.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for me, the interesting thing is, I went to a life-changing seminar in the 1980s, and they had the same philosophy, although they didn't say it so simply. And one of the things that they did say was reasons, which are the things that help us motivate ourselves, are really just things that we think of after we've made a decision to justify the decision. So what's important for you, I mean, what I get, what you're saying is, you know, if you have a feeling to do something, then follow it. And yes. Forget about the reasons.
Yes.
Because sometimes you can talk yourself out of something that is really, yes. would be very beneficial
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after a time you find out, oh.
And then you regret it.
Yeah. Then yeah. you regret and then you start again.
Yeah.
But it has taken a lot of time to come back to your
yeah, exactly.
insight.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And sometimes it feels like there's never a way to come back, but there always is somehow.
Yeah, there's yeah. always a way.
Yeah. Great, great. Well, that's a good piece.
Yeah.
So for all of you out there who are into contemplating very, very difficult situations, go with your inner voice.
Yes.
Apply Reiki and go with your inner voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, great, good. Well, this is the end of the show for this time. Thank you very much, Wilhelmine.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I really, really appreciate it, and I appreciate the vulnerability of your story. And for those of you out there, thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week with Phyllis Vermoto and Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.